And welcome to this week's Talk of the Rock. I am your host, Jared Griffin. And November is American Indian and Alaska Native Heritage Month. And here in Kodiak, KMXT operates on the traditional and historic lands of the Aleutic Sukpiak people. And to help talk about events this month and to recognize and celebrate Aleutic heritage and how health and wellness interact in all of this, we have several people in the studio right now. Libby Eufemio, Assistant Professor of Alaska Native Studies and the Chamai Club Advisor. And with Libby is Berta De Torres, who is a Kodiak College student and the Chamai Club President. Welcome, Libby and Berta. Oh, let me, there you go. Now you have microphones. Also in the studio is Lisa Truitt, tobacco prevention at Canna.
Thank you.
And Margie Meady is a Kodiak College and UAA School of Nursing and a PhD in Indigenous Studies, focusing on areas of Indigenous knowledge systems and Indigenous education pedagogy. And I'm going to read the title of your research focus because I think it really captures what we're going to be talking about for the next 27 minutes or so. Exploring Indigenous Holistic Healing Practices, Identifying Connections with Nature and Spirit to Enable Providers to Meet the Healthcare Needs of Indigenous People. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
So at the time of colonization, in the 1800s, the Kodiak Archipelago was home to over 13,000 people living in about 60 different Aleutic villages. Today, there are 10 federally recognized tribes within the Kodiak Archipelago, and out of a total of 229 in Alaska. Today, more than 4,000 Aleutic Sukpiak live in 15 rural villages. Towns, each of Alaska's major cities, and there are about 1,800 Aleutic Sukpiak in the Kodiak Archipelago. So, how important is Alaska Native Heritage Month to Kodiak, and how important is it to focus on health and wellness? A big, broad question to get us started. We can start with Libby.
I'll go first. Thank you, Jared. So November is officially recognized as Alaska Native Heritage Month. So at the college, we have always had some kind of celebration of this month. And we recently have partnered with Canna Prevention over this semester, a bunch of our activities with Chamai Club, which is like a fun and a social and kind of service organization that we have at the college that's open to anybody to be a member of. We've partnered with Canna Prevention to help focus on ideas of health and wellness through a lot of activities. And so we have a whole bunch of stuff actually coming up this week and next week that we're here to talk to you about today.
Okay. Great introduction. So, let's go ahead and talk about Chamai Club. What is the history of Chamai Club? And let's just kind of hit the highlights. What are the big things coming up over the next week?
Sure. So my job at the college, I teach Alaska Native Studies and Anthropology, and I run the Aleutic Studies program that has a language OEC. We just had our third graduating class in May with our Aleutic Language Occupational Endorsement Certificates. But I got a grant a few years ago it was focused on Alaska Native and American Indian success and retention in college. And so we tried to focus on activities and things that would help bring about success in college and keeping students coming back for the classes that they needed, you know, whether it was, you know, a language degree or just one course. We wanted to try to find ways to make that connection. And so we started the Chamai Club. And pre-pandemic, we focused on movie nights and food events at the college and crafts. And then during the pandemic, we had to shift gears and do a lot of stuff through Zoom. But we did manage to figure out how to have craft events and different presentations, so we could include people no matter where they were. And now we are we're continuing that trend. We're trying to have things that people can do from a distance, whether it's here at their own house or, you know, in Anchorage or Washington State, wherever they may be. And so we have some fun things going on this week and next, kind of in honor of this month, Alaska Native Heritage Month. One event that we have that we're just it's going to be this week, Thursday night, at the Campus Center, which is the first with the building on the left when you drive into Kodiak College. We're going to host a meet and greet for two really inspirational women who are here to work with cancer prevention. They're establishing a youth version of Galley Tables, which is called Scuttlebutt, and it's for ages the 9th grade through 12th grade. And these two ladies, they have different social media platforms. Alice Glenn is the host of a podcast called Coffee and Quack, which addresses issues about contemporary Alaska Native urban issues, and she's really dynamic. And so is her friend Jackie Lambert, who also has this media presence. So we're going to host a meet and greet for them Thursday night at the college from 7 to 8 o'clock. Everybody's welcome to come to that. And then next week, we're really going to have a series of events that are going to kind of hit all these different aspects of health and wellness. I don't know how to say it, Margie. Different things that are fun to do but make us feel good about ourselves and hanging out with others, right? So, Lisa, do you want to talk a minute about our first event next week, which is the...
Yes, we are doing a smoked salmon event with the Chamai Club in honor of the Alaska Native American Heritage Month, and it kind of corresponds with also the Great American Smokeout. So that is November 15th at 6 p.m. to 7, and then you can also register on healthykodiak.net/event. It should be a fun event. I'm excited to get it going.
So that's next Tuesday night.
Next Tuesday night.
Yeah. And it's about, we're going to make smoked salmon
dip.
Smoked
salmon.
I was about to say, you can't beat the smoked salmon dip and the Russian tea.
So we want people to register because there are limited number of supplies for that. But that is open to the public, too.
Yes, that is open to the public.
And that's, you know, I think salmon is one of those key things here in all of our lives in Kodiak. And that just, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Makes us feel good to eat it. It's healthy and good for us. And so it's a really... good focus, I think, for us to try to bring about a healthy activity like this.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday, we have what we call Wellness Wednesdays, and that's part of our Chamai Club. We try to have an event every Wednesday that focuses on something fun and interesting that brings good feelings and often healthy things. So, Berta, I don't know if you want to mention what we have going on this Wednesday.
Yes, this upcoming Wednesday, we are going to do Rocks of Affirmation. So I believe we're going to provide all supplies to paint rocks with positive words or statements. And there's no time. I think it's just a self-serve. Come by the
Campus Center, Campus Center lobby all day on Wednesday. And it's just a nice way, you know, painted rocks were a big thing here in Kodiak, and they still are. And it's just a fun way to make nice messages, either in English or Aleutic, and then you could take them home or give them to your friends or hide them somewhere like on campus. So that's the point.
It's a great activity. It's low stakes, you know. You don't have to be an artist. There are some fantastic rock painters out there, but... I remember doing the rocks and hiding those with the kids. Let's bring Margie into this. So Margie, the big focus is on health and wellness. So what do you see as the connection here with health and wellness, being healthy, feeling healthy, and healing with Alaska Native Heritage Month?
Well, I've been in healthcare for 45 years. It's hard to imagine it's been that long. But I always came from, of course, a Western medical perspective, which looks at things in a very minute, objective way. And when I worked at Canna back in the 90s, I noticed that things were a little bit different as far as their approach to holistic health and staying well. So when I did my research project recently, I wanted to find out what kinds of traditional healing practices they used. And honestly, I expected that we were missing the spiritual aspect of health and wellness. And my compartmentalized Western mind thought that if we just added spirituality to this holistic care, we would have this comprehensive approach to taking care of things for people from indigenous heritage. But found out that was not completely true at all. Spirit is everything, and relationships are everything. And the subjective, emotional, as Libby was pointing out, the relationships and the feel-good that you get from those are what bring you the healing and the wellness that people are seeking. They were very clear to emphasize that it wasn't just one thing. It was a balance of everything, the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional aspects of, you know, mind, body, spirit. Everybody talks about that, and so the balance. And the other thing was that it was a very individual thing. It wasn't just what worked for me is going to work for you. It was what was going to be important for you, was going to either keep you in balance for holistic health or could get you off balance. So talking about relationships, if I had a fight with my sister, that was going to impact my emotions, and then my physical health would be impacted. But if I had a strong relationship with my sister, that could keep me in balance. That could be a mechanism for kicking me out of balance or helping me maintain or restore my balance. And so it was a very different perspective. And ultimately, I actually changed the name of the research dissertation to be more reflective of what I found. And what it was that it's changed to Celebrating Aleutic Cultural Revitalization, Pathways to Holistic Individual Health and Community Wellness, because it was their core values that was the guide, the pathway for people. It didn't matter what core value somebody felt like they needed to focus on. It could be, you know, ties to our homeland, our lands. It could be faith and spiritual life, from ancestral beliefs to diverse faiths of today. Humor, all of the core values different people used as guiding pathways to help them maintain their holistic health or rebalance something that was kind of off for their lives at that moment. But it was all connected by spirit, all connected by relationships, and it wasn't just finding the missing piece. It was making sure to address what was individually important to that person, but how it maintained and restored their balance for their relationships. And so it was a big eye-opener for me and a very spiritual moment for me to be honored to have them share those connections with mm-hmm. me.
So y'all have talked about some activities and events coming up to cultivate relationships and that time, and hopefully sustain some kind of balance. But there's the event kind of capstoning that week, though, is about confronting historical trauma, generational trauma, let's talk about the event first, and then we can talk about how important it is from a health and wellness kind of aspect, how important it is. But it's a documentary called Finding
Refuge.
And Libby, you're going to be making a presentation about this.
Right. So on the 18th, which is a Friday, starting at 6 o'clock in the Benny Benson building, we're going to have kind of a couple presentations based around this movie, Finding Refuge. So I'm going to start that evening giving a talk about the archaeology of the Refuge Rock Site, which is located near the village of Old Harbor. And that is the location where Grigory Shelikhov attacked the Aleutic people who were at this refuge place, Refuge Rock, and won the battle that ended up shifting the tide for Aleutic people from that point on, right? And it was a massacre, and, you know, it should be described as that. And it's that event was key in subjugating, making the Aleutic people not their own. You know, it took away their autonomy at that point. And so the ripples of that event have continued to this day, and those are what we call historical, it's a historically traumatic event. That and so this movie, I'm going to set the stage really for this movie, Finding Refuge, which is a beautifully produced documentary. It's about half an hour long, and it follows one woman on her quest, on a bucket list quest of trying to find the root of her own personal trauma, historical trauma, and then what it means for the Aleutic people. It's a beautifully made film. We've shown it a couple times in the past at the college, but this is a great opportunity for us to bring in a little bit of the archaeology through me, and then a whole bunch of talking about what does this event mean, how do we find balance in our current lives, and how do we deal with traumatic events of the past based on what we have here in Kodiak, which is this really rich history, deep cultural values. And so we're going to have a panel discussion after the film, and Margie's on that panel. We have a couple of other people speaking, and we're going to talk about these issues, and I think it'll be really a great time.
I think a point to emphasize is the resilience. It's that historical trauma might have occurred in the past, but it's not what is present in the future or in the current, in the current state or in future. It's about resilience, and it's about the fact that even though that historical trauma occurred, that looking both ways philosophy, where you look to the past to understand what happened, but you're looking to the future to make life better. And it's the fact that their culture has been ongoing. It's resilient. It is vibrant and alive, and it's not something that's just, you know, relegated to the past. It's vibrant and alive, and it's transforming.
I appreciate this quote from the Aleutic Museum about the film. They said, quote, "We also believe that accurate knowledge of the past is essential to the health of modern communities." And so there's that present-past connection is important. And Berta and Lisa, you've lived here in Kodiak for a very long time. I don't want to
Off and on.
Yeah. I think this time around it's been almost 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
So my husband's in the Coast Guard, so he's retired. So we're staying. So it gave me a chance to get back into school and further my education. So it's, I think for me, going back to school is more empowering, being Native American from the lower 48 and being a good role model and trying to break all the stereotype sayings. So that was my main focus, and still is my main focus, is to be a good role model for the community.
And Berta, you're from, are you from Old Harbor, or is it Port Lyons?
Yuzinki.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you are definitely, long time Kodiak. And I'm curious that, what did you hear about Refuge Rock growing up? Did you hear anything? Because I've heard that it's one of these, it's a story that has not been told a lot.
I don't remember ever hearing about it growing up out there. There wasn't a lot of cultural stuff incorporated in our education. This was back in the early 2000s, though. And as I was a preteen, I remember seeing things crop up about my culture. And it was just so foreign to me. And just to see how it's grown today is amazing and really moving. That movie, Refuge Rock, it's a tearjerker.
It's powerful. Really, yeah. It's a very powerful movie.
Yeah. Yep. So I've gotten to see our culture revitalize around me, and it's amazing. I can relate a lot to the main character and her journey.
And your journey right now also includes getting your education.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You want to share a little bit about that?
I graduated a year early out in Yuzinki, and I jumped right into full-time college up in Anchorage, and I had a little bit of a culture shock going on there. Ended up coming back to Kodiak and found my middle ground, and I started a family and took a little break, and 13 years later, here I am. I got my associate's degree, and now I'm working towards a bachelor's in biological science, and I hope to go to dental school after that.
All right. It's fantastic. So we also, Berta mentioned, you know, another piece of this is cultural revitalization. How do you see this playing a role in this kind of health and wellness focus this month?
Well, hopefully, you know, the activities that we're doing through Chamai Club are, you know, relationship building. I think that's one of the key things. For a number of reasons, you know, it's just really nice to be able to get to know people and their stories. And, you know, for me, I like to know, you know, why are students taking classes? Why are they, what are they interested in? What's their passion? And hopefully we can provide classes that you know, help them reach certain goals in their life or give them, you know, if they take a Lutic language course, you know, some really important cultural aspects that we can help with that. But it's just, for the most part, I think Chamai Club is about hanging out together, doing interesting things together, building relationships, and learning from each other. And so on the 18th, when we're showing this film and we're each talking from our own, you know, particular educational standpoint, it's just going to be a whole lot of sharing. And I think that's an important part of it's one of those core Lutic values as well.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship building, sharing, being together, sharing food together. Hopefully we'll have some, maybe we'll have some of that smoked salmon dip at this reception too.
Hopefully we'll have some. Yes,
those are all really
should.
Important. Yeah. And they don't maybe jump out at you as being key aspects to health and balance, finding balance in your life. But relationship building is really key to health and happiness.
And so, Margie, what is the science behind that? What is the science behind relationship building?
Well, they've done a lot of research about relationship building and the mind-body connection. And thankfully, they're starting to understand that. I'm going to get into a little, I hope I don't get into too much detail, but they're starting to understand that you can look at things from a Western perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's an idea, a concept called two-eyed seeing, where I look at situations from a Western lens and I understand the objective, minute pieces. But you can also look at things from an indigenous lens, from a different eye and different view. And that's from the heart. That's the subjective emotional connection. So we talk about the relationships. Those are the things that can also be very tangible in creating balance and health in an individual. So, yeah, if I have a fractured leg, I want to go get my leg fixed in that kind of a Western setting. But if I have emotional issues that are impacting my health, maybe I have, I'm overwhelmed and I'm feeling like I'm carrying the weight of the world, so I have a backache because that's my body telling me that you're just overburdened with life. And so recognizing that those things are real, maybe you can't measure them in like a blood pressure, but you can still see the evidence of the impact they're having on people's lives. And so people are starting to accept that and realize that there's a place for all of this. And that would be a better way to be holistically impactful in somebody's life.
And there's still a lot of material elements to it. Like Lisa, you focus on tobacco prevention.
Mm-hmm.
I know that like rates of smoking like nationwide have typically are going down, they're decreasing, mm-hmm. but we obviously still see a need for tobacco prevention, especially in the Alaska Native community.
Yeah.
Or is this still?
It's still, from what I've read and researched, it's still within the Alaska Native American community. There's still the high statistic number, so trying to get that number down, and so.
Mm-hmm. And it has been going down, but it's still
it's still
quite high.
Yeah.
And then the Chamai Club, which I really like what the Chamai Club has done, is they started a food pantry of sort on the college campus.
Right. Yeah.
Which every time I walk by, I'm like, I'm hungry, but am I hungry? You know, am I taking away this mac and cheese from a hungry student? But
So there have been some studies lately throughout the whole University of Alaska system that recognize that student hunger is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many students, in order to pay for college, are making the decision, you know, I have to pay my rent, I have to pay my tuition, I'm going to cut back on food. And this affects not just students, but their entire families, because most of the students we have at Kodiak College are, you know, they have families, they're working full time, they have very busy lives. And so I got a small grant through the AFOGNAC CARES granting opportunity to do a couple things that we could do to help students. And one of them was to start a student food pantry. So Berta and I went to the store earlier in the summer, and we had got three carts full of food. It took a lot longer than I thought to purchase all that food and then to get it into the car and haul it to the college. But so we just started this fall, and we have three distribution points at the college. One is the campus center lobby, one is the library, and the other one is the adult education offices. So we have different students going through those areas, and we have food out for them to take. And, you know, we put up a sign that says, you know, take what you need, take some home if you need to. And it's been pretty popular so far, hasn't it, Berta?
It has. Yeah, I feel like I'm always restocking, especially in the library area.
Yeah.
There's a lot of students in there.
Yeah, it seems like that's the first thing to go is the food. You're like, I don't need food, I need this. And
yeah.
When you're planning, figuring out your college and what mm-hmm. you need to pay for, you're like, food can wait.
Yeah. Yeah, and so people are buying food, maybe that's not that good for them. So mm-hmm. one of the things we tried to focus on is we purchased some canned salmon from Kodiak Harvest to try to have some culturally relevant food that's really wholesome available for students. Mm-hmm. And then on the same line, we started a student garden this mm-hmm. this spring, and we had our first harvest, and that was really exciting. We harvested quite a few potatoes that we handed out to elders and to students and their families as well.
And this is part of the director, Jason Key, is trying to turn the campus into a, what did she say?
Edible landscaping.
Edible landscaping. Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's like Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
I wish. We all wish. Well, we have about 1 minute left, so let's go down. There are a few events coming up. Let's just hit the highlights, what they are, where they are, when they are.
Okay, so this Thursday night, a meet and greet for the ladies from Coffee and Quack podcast, and that will be Thursday from 7 to 8 o'clock at the Campus Center. And then next week, Lisa?
We have the Smoked Salmon Dip event with the Chamay Club at the Kodiak Community College Campus Center in the lobby, November 15th at 6 p.m. And then again, you can go and register at healthykodiak.net/events.
And then on Wednesday, we have our Wellness Wednesday event, right, Berta?
Yes. We're going to do Rocks of Affirmation.
So that's a stop-in whenever you can event.
And then the big event on Friday.
Right, with the Finding Refuge movie showing, a presentation about the Refuge Rock site, and a panel discussion with Margie and other healthcare professionals, health and wellness folks. And that will be the 18th, starting at 6 p.m. And there's a Zoom link for that as well, so people can sign up to participate from afar.
All right. So, and thanks to this great partnership between CANA and Kodiak College and the Chamay Club. Thanks to my guests, Libby, Berta, Margie, Lisa. Thanks so much for coming, and thank you for listening to Talk of the Rock.
Issues and organizations.